Ladies and gentlemen, valley girls and matchstick men, Peggy Sue's and wicker men, welcome to Nick Cage University. At NCU, we pride ourselves on knowing all we can about national treasure Nicholas Kim Coppola, better known as Academy Award winner Nick Cage. Join Rodney, Jason, and Sean, better known as the film school janitors, as they embark on their next kick-ass journey of studying all, and I mean all, of his films. Get trapped in paradise, or be gone in 60 seconds. If you're wild at heart, it can happen to you. Experience Fast Times at Nick Cage University.
All right, so we are going to be talking about our 74th Nick Cage movie, The Cotton Club from 1984. They consider it a musical crime drama. Would you agree with it being a musical crime drama?
No.
It's a noir movie. A musical, yeah.
Francis Ford Coppola directed it. The producer...
You mean Nick Cage's uncle.
Which way he was put
in a role that didn't even actually exist in his fucking timeline anyway. Wow, if that's not nepotism, I don't know what is.
What?
Sorry.
His cousin was in this movie.
Nepo babies form! What was that Saturday Night Live skit? It was put their hands together?
Yeah, they opened the door and so much more, I think, is there.
Yeah. All right, we'll get this out of the way now. So Nick Cage's cousin was in this movie, in case you didn't know
in
that.
In real life?
Nick Cage's real life cousin was in this movie.
Well, Gregory Hines' brother was in this movie.
And the woman, the main woman that, what was his name?
Diane Lane.
Yeah, that's Superman's mom.
Yeah, yeah. She's...
Yeah, Diane Lane's, yes.
Yes.
She was hot. What happened to her?
She was 19 years old. She's from Unfaithful.
You're a fucking pervert.
Unfaithful. She was married to Richard Gere in Unfaithful. No, in Unfaithful. Remember that movie?
No.
It was like a
sexy... Were they fuck on the stairs?
Yeah, sexy 2000
I remember
film.
Unfaithful.
Yeah. That's the first movie I ever saw Diane Lane in.
She was hot in that movie, and she was old.
She was in... actually, she's in the Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
Judge Dredd movie also.
Yep.
So it's weird for me for Diane Lane is I remember the first time I saw her or I realized I saw her was in Unfaithful and she was fantastic in that for various reasons. But I was like, I had a big crush and I go, how have I never seen her in anything? And I went back and looked and there was this weird pocket, like other than maybe Judge Dredd. Yeah. It was like, oh, these movies I always intended to see, like Streets of Fire, I was always interested in.
I have Streets of Fire, and it's still wrapped because I'm waiting to watch it again.
Oh, yeah, we'll watch it.
We put that on a list that we never got around to, just for the record, Sean.
It's not good, but
Sean,
it's fun.
It's still wrapped. It's our next movie we need to do.
Oh, yes. It's got one of my favorite all-time
songs. We need to do that together.
It.
You need to come by.
Yes, I will. Yeah, I honestly almost called you.
Sean, it's still wrapped.
When I was driving home yesterday, I was passing by your house, and I almost called you to see if you wanted to hang out and watch a movie.
You could have came fucking right in.
I can go to the other room for a few minutes if you guys need some time.
You used to do that on Tuesdays, motherfucker.
I'll turn
you invited.
No,
you just don't.
You used to be the Tuesday date night for me, and you fucking don't come by recording right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
You used to come by on Tuesday nights.
Oh, let's not talk about the Tuesday night movie thing where I'd come over to watch a movie, you'd hit play, and then you go and take a shit for an hour and a half in the other room, and then come back and be like, oh, what did I miss? The whole fucking movie.
That's all fucking made up. You're such a piece of shit for making that up. So first, you know you stopped coming by?
The only thing that I made up was an hour and a half. It was really like 30 minutes.
You know you stopped coming by? We fucking played Pig, and you and Kelly fucking bonded over how horrible that movie was, and I loved it, and you haven't came back since.
Yeah,
that's really what fucking happened.
No, we saw Pig at the theater.
No, we saw Pig at my house.
Really?
Yes, him and Kelly fucking bonded over how fucking horrible the movie was.
Oh, that's what started the
whole
thing.
But you might have saw it in the theater. We saw it at his house.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, did you pay to rent it then, maybe?
I might have. I don't know. But they hated it, and they made fun of it, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And he didn't come back.
Well, that's the origin story of us going to school, so... Cotton Club.
I did not take a fucking hour and a half
shit. Take responsibility for the movies you picked.
For my hour and a half poop? Never happened.
Okay, it was a half hour. But okay.
I've never
totally,
taken dude,
always.
You see me, I'm hyper.
I don't know what you're doing
I don't go poop. I don't go poop till I have to poop. My poops are like 30 seconds tops. I get up and I fucking move on with my life.
I don't know what you were doing in the bathroom for that long, but maybe you weren't pooping the whole time.
Nobody was pooping anyway.
So speaking of Cottonelle, like this segue. Speaking of Cottonelle, Cotton Club is a movie that Robert Evans, this producer, so there's a documentary out there called The Kid Stays in the Picture. Robert Evans is an infamous Hollywood producer. So much so that when he was trying to get funding to make this movie, he got involved with somebody, like, he got involved with, like, a...
child trafficking?
No, 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 no. Saudi Arabian,
you mean adoption,
like,
agency.
Prince.
Yes.
He got somebody that's involved that was, like, in the mob that he... some other partner had that person killed. He went on trial. The producer of this movie went on trial for somebody that died because that he got money from because of making this movie. But he was obsessed. He was, like, a weird, big-shot Hollywood producer that fell by the wayside. This is supposed to be his big comeback. His big thing, he saw a photograph book, a book. Somebody made a photograph book of the history of the Cotton Club, and he just liked the look
Kelly
of the book.
Kelly just sent me a text. She goes, we lose an hour tonight. Try not to be gone all night.
Oh, that's right.
She goes, try not to be gone all night.
Fuck. All right, I got
to
go.
So the book, this picture book, is he wanted to make a movie.
I don't want
to
take away your poop time.
He wanted to make this movie based on this picture book, and so then he brought in originally, book. He brought in the guy who did, Robert Altman. Who did Popeye and flopped terribly. So he's like, I don't want to fucking be anywhere
near
this.
For the record, I have Popeye, if you guys ever want to watch it. I own it.
I own
it,
too.
I have the Blu-ray version.
I own it. I started. You need to watch it. I tried watching it once in recent years.
Can I give it?
And when it gets to the part where they're like singing a song, food, 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 all he thinks about is food.
So take away that. Okay. The cosmetics of the scenery. And where they're at?
In Malta.
It's great.
I've been to Malta. I haven't been to that place.
The way they built everything, it's great.
Okay.
I love that look.
Another Friday. We'll do that on another Friday.
I love the way it looked. I love the way it put you in that
I'll give it another shot.
I have it if you ever want to do it. We'll do, what's the other movie you mentioned?
I forgot.
Streets of Rage.
Streets of Fire and Popeye.
Streets of Rage is a video game. Streets of Fire and Popeye.
Sounds good. A couple weeks, we'll do that. Yes. Absolutely. All right. So anyway, all these money issues he was having trying to get
this
produced.
And Robert Williams, RIP.
Nobody wanted to do it. And Francis Ford Coppola got hired because he didn't want to
You mean Francis Cage?
He didn't want to do a studio film. Paramount was going to give a bunch of money, but they made a bunch of rules. Robert Evans is like, nope, I want to have full control. Went to Orion, which you see the Orion logo, which I always like seeing the old logos in the old movies. This is the first movie they produced. They were only a distribution company.
Oh, okay.
So Robert Evans got Francis Ford Coppola, who was on a downturn because he'd produced his own movie previously. It was just called One from the Heart.
Okay.
All right. That was a huge flop, and he paid for it all himself. So him and George Lucas, they were independent. Like, George Lucas is still one of the greatest, most successful independent filmmakers because he produced his own movies.
You think he was not independent because how well they did, but he was independent. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Coppola was like, just did it for the paycheck.
Hey, we're here.
They wanted, this is a movie you watch, Jay. So, or just, he's looking up the cast. He's looking up the cast. He always looks up the cast.
Who hurt their arm? What cast?
So he, they want, God, who did they want? They wanted somebody originally, instead of, I'm trying to think of who it was here. Oh, Sylvester Stallone was originally supposed to be the main character.
That would not have rolled
no.
Mickey? Sylvester's fucking
Dixie.
They want a real Italian?
Right.
Oh, no, but he would have to be Irish.
Richard Pryor
had to be a Mick.
Yeah, and Richard Pryor was also supposed to be Sam, but he asked for too much money, too.
But that guy did.
It's Gregory Hines.
Gregory Hines. He's known for tap dancing and everything anyway, right?
It makes no sense.
So you would have nobody else play that role but Gregory Hines.
And his brother, his own brother in real life played his brother in the movie. Yeah.
Yeah, so that doesn't make sense for anybody else.
So the whole idea of this 1984 film, filming something that took place in the 30s. So it's like basically us making a movie now that would take place in the 70s, which seems fucking bizarre. Oh,
and James Rummer as the...
Mario.
Oh, man. Yeah, is that his name?
You mean Mario?
Yeah. Oh, no. He was... It was funny
king.
Just to
yeah,
see
he was
him.
The king. I want to look up his career. Don't help me remember to look. I want to look up James Remar's like filmography because I feel like he has so many fucking cool things in there. Because I think it occurred to me when I watched like Dexter, he was the dad in Dexter, and then he was in that TV show Jericho.
It's about him,
and he's awesome in Jericho. And I was like, I go, God, what a wild career this guy's had.
You saw Jericho.
He's
too?
In Streets of Fire, I believe. Also,
you saw Jericho.
Oh, Jericho's awesome. Oh,
okay, I don't know. You'd see
There's comic books. I bought them. I never read them, but there was follow up comic books.
And
but,
Lawrence Fishburne being in here too. Like he looks fucking.
So there's a Lawrence Fishburne. He plays
Bumpy
in two movies, in Harlem and in this.
Yep, he plays basically the gangster.
Bumpy Johnson.
Bumpy Johnson, the black and gangster that was in the like later movie Harlem.
Yep.
So there's a lot of real characters in here. You got Bob Hoskins playing Oni Madden, who
played Frenchie?
Frenchie, that's Fred Gwynne, who played Herman Munster.
Yeah, okay, that's why I was like, he looks.
I liked him. He's my favorite part of the movie.
Oh, I love, dude.
He was funny.
He was great in so
heartwarming
many,
too. Like
in a way,
he was almost like the Ron Perlman.
James
character.
Yes, that's exactly what I
in Retirement Plan.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
It was fucking hilarious. I love that. Oh,
he said, you only offered $500 to condemn me.
Just
no, they asked for $35. I gave him $50,000.
It doesn't work. Wait here, I'll
James
fix Remar, it. Boom.
James breaks his watch.
James Remar is in The Warriors in 1979. Yes.
Awesome.
He was in Oppenheimer in 2023.
Okay, yep.
He's in some. He's
that's
in
what I'm saying, dude.
Good, solid.
He has an awesome career.
In American cinema, he's in some good, solid
movies. He's one of those characters you don't
you
like,
keep looking to
hear
see
about
else,
as much.
Like good
but
ones.
Yeah, he's in a lot of
a
them.
Good character actor. Like, mm-hmm. Again, just Dexter alone was, I think it was during Dexter that I went, this guy's career is fucking cool. Like, I really, really admire. But yeah, so this is a film about the Cotton Club, which was in Harlem.
Oh, he played, his first role was in Ajax in 1979 movie The Warriors.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this whites only nightclub in Harlem where all the entertainment was all basically black musicians and dancers and singers. A lot of famous people went through this. So in real life, that's how it was.
181 movies. I'll just try to narrow it down.
They wouldn't like, just look for the good ones. They normally, if you go to Wikipedia, it'll say like known for.
I'm an IMDb.
Okay, I would go to Wikipedia and look it up because it'll say like known for and then it'll list like
the rookie,
best ones.
The Lamb, Creepshow, Black Lightning.
So the era that this was in was like the Prohibition. So you got Dutch Schultz, which is the James Remar character, was a famous gangster who was bootlegging against Lucky Luciano, who comes into the story later for a very small part. But the character that Nick Cage, who's our guy, you know, he plays Vincent Dwyer, who's the brother of Dixie Dwyer, which is Richard Gere's character.
He's a voice in American Dad. I didn't know that.
Oh. Richard Gere's basically playing, what's the instrument?
He was a trombone? No, trumpet?
He was the trombone.
Not a clarinet. It's what is a fucking instrument?
He's a voiceover in Legend of Kira, too. Korra.
He really
episodes.
He could, he was
Legend
the dad.
Korra,
yeah, he's the dad,
episodes,
yeah.
Cornet.
So he, Richard Gere can really play that instrument, too. And he played it off of the scenes. So he's basically this musician.
Technically, anybody can play it.
Django Unchained.
So he's in this position where he is playing in a nightclub, and he incidentally saves Dutch Schultz's
X-Men
life.
X-Men First Class? I don't remember him in that.
What character does it say?
Elliot Connor.
He could have been. He might have been the handler.
No, U.S. General. Sorry.
Yeah, he was like the handler for U.S. General. Rose Byrne's character, I think.
Now I got to remind myself. He came back from him and his boys went on
a trip to
try to make it big somehow. Something happened. They broke up. He went back home and he took the Greyhound bus.
Yes.
Because he called the Hound.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot they had that one.
Pineapple Express.
So he got home and that's when you introduced, at first I didn't recognize Nick
Blade
Cage.
Trinity.
Because he just looked so fucking young there, you know. But he really played up that gangster, dumb kind of like
dick.
Oh,
yeah, he was
like,
dick,
hey.
Yeah.
But the part I'm actually having trouble remembering, though, like when he went to the club, though,
Seventh
he
Heaven?
Sat with them originally, though, right? Didn't. How do they? How
he,
do they
no,
get
he,
to the,
no, no. He was he saw the like he knew the Cotton Club, but he went to the other nightclub. That's where James Remar's character, the Dutch, was at.
Van Damme.
And he saves him from like a bomb. That's where Vera, who's Diane Lane's character,
dynamite,
gets introduced. And then he's like, "Oh, I got you. I owe you one. You know, you're my guy now.
I'm your uncle." It's like, "I'm your uncle." Like what?
So he basically kind of. Slowly but surely, like, lures him into his world, makes him a driver, makes him babysit her, basically.
Makes him his bitch. And wait.
Well, you get the meet cute of basically him and Vera. Vera's drunk as hell. So
like me right now.
Dixie takes her home. She wants to sleep with him, but he's like, nope, you're basically. He's hesitant for a moment. He's like, and he's like, nope, you're going to sleep. Covers her up.
Yeah, he foiled her plan. She did all the key things to get drunk and make him take her home and take advantage of her.
Even like the slight humor. Oh, Fred Gwynn had some slight humor.
It's
but
the wrong 20s.
Him even laying in the, trying to lay in the chair next to the bed, like being the gentleman.
Yep.
Like,
it
was kind of funny.
And you know what's so fucked up about that? It's funny. It's like he's trying to sleep and he turns, he's tossing chair. I'm like, Sean could have fell asleep in that thing.
Sean would fall asleep in anything, right?
Yep, any position doesn't matter.
Sean would fall asleep in anything. I don't know if it's still a thing or not.
My body betrays me more. I could still, but I hurt too much.
That's right. That's your superpower.
It
you
was
can
my
fall
superpower.
Asleep in anything.
Anywhere, anything. Yeah,
that's right.
But yeah, I did honestly think, when I saw it, I go, well, I would like to sleep on that. That was legit my thought.
It was like, oh, shit, that was awfully modern-looking chair for them, too.
That is
like,
Sean's superpower.
So
I'm sorry, it made me think of Fallout, too. I'm a big Fallout fan, you know.
You're excited for it. I'm excited for that.
Super excited about the show. Wait, coming out.
How did Cotton Club make you think of
Fallout? Because it wasn't the exact same time, but it was like back in, you know, older days, right?
Oh.
Like older
did somebody times. Just fall? Fallout.
The gun fall out the window.
Yeah, yeah.
When Gregory Hines kicked the gun, it fall out the window. It made me think of it.
I got out of the shower, I saw a cockroach, and I'm like, oh, yeah,
that fall guy's out. Nose is small.
Fucking rad roach.
So, question, where did you watch the version called Encore, or did you watch the... Just
Encore.
Okay, so you watched the longer version, too.
So you both watched the longer version. I did not watch the longer version.
God damn it.
Well, it's considered the better story. Like,
oh, okay.
I did not watch the longer version.
He cut it down in the theatrical release, and it like... They said that they... Like, there was a lot of song and dance and stuff and story bits.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie basically... This movie actually more is about, like, your gangsters. Kind of it floats in and out.
It's two stories running parallel.
It is.
With the only tie-in, really, is the Cotton Club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... Oh, I'm sorry. And Dwight.
So what's two stories? Wait,
Dutch.
Yeah,
Dutch Schultz.
Well, Gregory Hines' character.
Oh, yeah, yes.
And
Sandman.
Richard Gere's character, right?
So like they're friends.
They were friends in Harlem growing up.
Yeah, Gregory Hines is also known as Batman in this movie.
when he does the kick in the club.
Oh, yeah.
I took a video.
He's on stage dancing. He's watching his boy because that's his boy, right?
Right, yeah.
He's watching. He's like, all right, what's going down and shit? He's sitting there dancing shit. And he's watching it go down and shit. He's like, all right, I'm going to keep dancing, but my boy needs me. He's going to need me. And he's there dancing. He's like, whoa, jump to that fucking pole. Then a spin kick fucking
out
that
out the window.
Knocked it out of the window where the front doorman, like,
that happens all the time here.
Great fucking scene. Great scene.
But that was like, that was the funny part about the whole thing. I was watching them like, they really don't interact with each other that much. Like,
but they're
like
best friends. At the beginning, they start off, they're both pursuing paths to the Cotton Club to become famous.
Well, that's exactly what he's showing is the era via the, like, using the Cotton Club as a vessel for the era to show, you know, how black actors or black entertainers and white entertainers.
You're really, like, pronouncing that B.
Well, he's just like, as a cornet player, he has a look and he goes to Hollywood. He finds success. He finds
He wanted to be in movies.
Yeah.
And that's why the one guy basically stole him from his uncle.
Yeah.
The white guy stole. Not the black guy.
Yeah, Oney Madden.
Yeah, no, that's what I said.
Yeah, Bob Hoskins' character.
Yeah,
Eddie Valiant.
Yes. Mario. And he stole
Mario!
Sent him to Hollywood because he wanted a face out
Oney.
There from him because it was like, so he owns him.
I liked, actually, that was a funny scene, too, with the studio exec watching the reel.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I was going to ask you about that, too. I was like...
When he's like, he goes, oh, yeah, he's great. He goes, yeah, he can't really act. No, he's awful. We should get rid of him. Well, he's actually pretty good at it. Yeah, he's good at it.
Yes.
His name is Dixie. Oh, that's a terrible name. Yeah, we can change his name. Nah, actually, kind of like, yeah, that's a great name. Like, they did that so well.
What was funny was I'm listening to that, and I'm like, oh, my God. If this is exactly what they did when Spielberg was doing Star Wars 1, 2, and 3.
Everybody's just agreeing with him?
Yeah, that's right. No, I thought Spielberg,
but
I meant Lucas because I remember you saying the one time, like, he's got too many fucking yes men around him.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that's exactly
what I read now, but you read stuff now, they're like, that 1, 2, and 3 doesn't look so bad compared to 7, 8, and 9.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I can't, and 7, 8, and 9 looks damn good compared to 10, 11, and 12.
That's not out yet, but it will.
You know, but
they're saying, more and more. I read videos the other day, like, the big cop out for making her, they're like, oh, she's the daughter of fucking Hitler, but because she changed her last name, everything's okay. Like, I watched a video like 2 days ago that just
it's
shit
so
all
stupid,
over it.
But we talked about it.
They called her daughter
if
of Hitler.
Eight was awful.
Yeah.
But 8 could have been saved if 9 was good. And I kind of was holding my breath going, if they kind of... And then 9 basically went, 8 doesn't fucking matter. And it made 9 awful, and it made 8 awful. Yeah. 7 is still good. It's got promise. Anyway. Nicolas Cage.
Sorry, everybody.
So Nicolas Cage is loosely based.
Sorry. If you listen to us, you know this is what we do.
I just... Man, it was just too bad
what George Lucas
did to the Han Solo.
So Nicolas Cage is playing Richard Gere's character's brother, but he's loosely based on this guy,
Mad
Dog.
Cage. This is the Cage podcast. We're talking about Nicolas Cage.
So Vincent Mad Dog Cole was a hitman who actually became infamous because he did kill a kid.
So that character does exist.
He's loosely based on a character. So is Richard Gere's character. There was a mobster who went and became a Hollywood actor.
The Godfather has a little. Godfather has somebody that's part of the family.
Because it's supposed to be Hollywood Sinatra. Supposed to be Sinatra.
Godfather. I think Godfather does the same thing.
Godfather is Sinatra. This is too early for Sinatra.
That's not like that one, the movie where
Which is also Coppola and Mario Puzo wrote a version of the script who's the same.
Not like the movie where there was an actor that became president of the United States.
Exactly like that, yes. So the the character that Nicolas Cage plays became infamous because he did a drive-by and they killed a kid.
That drive-by the most fucking weirdest, stupidest thing you ever saw?
Every drive-by is.
Well, even when they go into Bumpy's place to shoot it up, that woman standing there as they're shooting it up, I'm like, did that actress not know she was supposed to, like, duck? Because all the squibs
the
are going
thing,
off.
The Bumpy thing, like, they made him, like, they tried to make him, like, a respectful person, but they kind of glazed over
it was
really
weird.
Hard.
It was weird. It was like a weird force.
Harlem does, of course, because it's all about him, does a way better job of that Bumpy Johnson thing. But so at this timeline,
it's the bootleggers.
Al Capone isn't quite a thing yet. He's moving up. But Lucky Luciano kind of runs everything, right?
Isn't Capone more Chicago, too?
He is Chicago. This is New York.
Bootleg.
I think Lucky Luciano is the bigger name here. And Al Capone's kind of coming up through the ranks at this point when this is happening. I watch, like, videos about Al Capone and stuff like that. Untouchables, great fucking movie, for the record.
You know, I remember watching it and probably kind of liking it back in the day. I don't remember. It's been a long time.
But, I think, and then Lucky Luciano's kind of running everything.
Is that who they go after in the Untouchables?
Oh, that actor. Is that the guy playing Lucky Luciano? Is that the dad we just talked about?
No. Lucky Luciano, who you kept saying looked
Who's
like
the, actor?
The guy that played Baron Zemo.
Yes, he looks exactly like him.
He's actually from Andy Warhol's factory. He was an actor like in all of Andy Warhol's underground movies, and this was his first big
Well, he didn't really do anything
movie.
But sit in the shadows and look
it
left and
like
right.
It looked like he was dubbed, too.
Yeah, he looked left and right, and all he did was
Yeah, they put this light on him, and he's
like they didn't know what nationality they wanted him to play as.
Well, he's Italian,
He ended up being Italian, but were they going to bring some other like family in there and... You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why they dubbed it. Of course you don't.
I have no fucking idea what you're saying.
Yeah, I should have wrote it down so you could read it.
You keep handing me these fucking liquors. I don't understand.
Give him a YouTube video.
Who's Abba Dabba?
He's a real person, too. He was, like, actually very good mathematically. He was, like, the accountant for Dutch Schultz.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a real person, too.
Okay.
But, yeah, the...
Dutch Schultz in Harlem, him and Bumpy Johnson bumped heads through the whole movie.
Okay.
So, just...
So, yeah, this whole basically...
I got to interrupt you one more time, too, because I don't see the guy's name here. The dude that was in charge of the back room of the club.
Oh, yeah. That Bumpy, like,
they gave him a drink later on.
Yeah. Oh, take a drink,
Who is he? Because he looks familiar, too, and he's not listed here.
His name was,
He looked familiar, like, from other...
Stark was the guy that was the...
Oh, Tony Stark's dead.
Yeah. what was his name?
Sorry, I was like, I saw him, and I was like, man, why isn't he not showing up here?
Yeah, I don't know I don't see any of these names that ring a bell on here.
Okay, he just looked familiar, and I don't know.
Yeah, again, there's a lot of little character actors. But yeah, so Diane Lane's first big, I think this is her first big acting role. It's the same year as Streets of Fire when we watched that.
And I gotta tell you, I don't know what the fuck were going through people's heads back then, but those fucking weird-ass hats that those ladies wore, man, throw me the fuck off.
Weirder than the shit that people that buy these fucking cups... That you can't get a Target find anywhere. Yes. It's a Saturday Night Live skit.
Stanley
and they wear those big ass fucking hats. Same thing.
Yeah.
But the idea that, like, I was actually thinking when I was watching this, too, going, I'm surprised I know there's one place downtown called, like, Clarabelle's or something like that that does, like, old school burlesque shows. You at the stage.
What? Where are we going?
But I'm like,
burlesque? Thick chicks with big titties? I love this.
No, that's not what burlesque
is. I know you both like thin chicks, but I like my chicks thick.
But I kind of was like thinking, like, could you bring back something where there were performances like this? But I went, oh, no, there's TV. This is before TV. That's why these nightclubs existed, where lounge singers and performers and dancers would come out and do stuff. Because all these movies that have this are all from the 20s and 30s.
A lot of those clubs existed, too, because of Prohibition.
That's true.
And they were a lot of, like, a majority of the time, too, they were, they were hidden. In a way,
speakeasies.
Right? Like, yeah, you had to, like, know somebody to get into it or type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really cautious who they let in, too, though. They had the entertainment, and then they had the... I think they did a lot more jazz and stuff like,
I mean, it's,
like that, like the playing stuff. I don't know about the dancing.
I think that was all what was going... Everything they did in this, I feel like they did a good job of doing what it was, really, and then they just tried to frame a story around it to capture the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like it was a job just for Francis Ford Coppola just to get money to get out of debt.
Yeah, because they used to dress up like that and go to the club, some of these clubs, too, because that was their thing,
even
right?
Airplanes, people used to dress up to go on airplanes. It was like...
Oh, you don't?
Fights break on airplanes now.
Oh, my yes, God. They do.
If anybody ever took their shoes off behind me and put their foot in the middle...
The kids. The young kids that the parents can't control them.
I'm actually fine with the kids. I have kids
and I'm not okay with kids.
Now that I have the young kids, I had one kid behind me that was pretty bad. And I turned around, like looked, and the lady's like, "I'm sorry." And I looked, and I'm like, "Gosh, the kid was little enough that I was like, it is what it is."
Hey, I don't know, dude.
She calmed her down.
With the shoe bomb scares and stuff like that, I wouldn't be taking my shoes off on a plane. Fuck that.
What's
no
this
way.
Fucking 20 years ago? Where are you getting your fucking?
Nobody has.
What are you talking about? Yeah. What are you?
No. Somebody puts their foot between.
Okay.
I will stab a foot. I will pour.
You can't get a knife on a plane.
My crotch is
all
wet. Where
the fuck you getting?
Somebody puts their foot out.
Can I have my Coke can, please? And then I'll like fashion the Coke can into a weapon.
You're right. They put the bombs in the babies now.
Bombs in babies.
So the
it's called BIB bibs,
right? Baby bombs.
Basic gist of this movie is Richard Gere is a musician.
Horrible actor in this movie, for the record. I thought it was acting.
No, he's acting over the top. He's a good actor. But,
he's trying to channel that 1920s
vibe. That's what they're all kind of trying to do.
Yeah, they all
do. But he does it worse than everybody else.
Who did?
I thought he was
Richard Gere.
Oh. Diane Lane is the mob boss's girlfriend.
He's no officer and a gentleman in this movie.
But could have been his girlfriend, but he falls in love with her and he's kind of hired to watch her. And they have these like moments where like I liked when they were doing the slapping and they were fighting when they were dancing and then people started thinking it was a thing.
Yeah, everybody around them was like oh, that's cool. They were like, slapping, like you heard a couple extra slaps going on in the back, like they were playing a lot, like oh, that's the new style.
So the dinner scene was Schultz, but they put that knife through that motherfucker.
Oh yeah,
and they're like clean up the bodies and shit because it's so he's not the one running everything, but you kind of think he is because he runs the cotton club. It's Oni, we'll call him Oni. But he's kind of the one kind of like trying to keep people at peace with everything.
Because he doesn't want to bring the heat of the cops. Because if there's too many dead bodies,
then they're into all our fucking business. We can't get shit done. So he sits him down at the table, Schultz and this other guy, and says, "Hey, squash this shit now. Shake his fucking hand." But he goes out there, and the guy does something that pisses off Schultz, and Schultz fucking puts a knife on. Yeah. So I'll be honest with you, I'm watching this with fucking Lex. Because Lex is having fucking dinner, and I'm just thinking, oh, this movie shouldn't be bad. And then that scene comes up through there, and Lex looks
But that
at
head
it.
Looks so fake,
listen,
too.
Listen, they do this shit under their neck, and I swear to God, my son, my fucking 13-year-old son, gets up and fucking goes upstairs and finishes his fucking meal. I'm like, fuck, what am I watching my son? Am I a bad dad? I didn't know that was going
to
happen.
That's the son that used to watch spiders eating animals.
Yes,
so.
The same son. But
so
I
that's good.
That
he got it out of his system.
He got
so
he
no, that's just reminding him about his spider videos.
He's like, oh, I gotta go upstairs and watch some more death.
Right?
That's what it was.
Oh, I got better ones.
But yeah,
that was a fake head.
Yeah, you see this knife go through the neck.
So, do this whole movie. Oni's trying to calm everybody down because it's his club. It makes the shit look bad. Police are getting involved in everything else. There's also a fake hit by fake police officers in this movie, which a lot of mobster movies you watch, there's a lot of, like, were badges easy? Were they, like, at the time
of you know, I was thinking that, too. Apparently, they were really easy to get a hold of.
Yeah, because that happens in a lot of mobster movies like you watch. There's a lot of fake police officers doing hits.
No, they could be real cops that are
on the payroll. True, there's that, too.
And then... That little
shot. But I mean, in a lot of movies, though, they do show gangsters like dressing up as cops in uniform.
A lot. Yeah, you find me a movie that doesn't have it. Old gangster movie that doesn't have it.
And so he could be.
I mean, they still do it in modern movies, too.
But this is a situation where in 84, Coppola is remembering the movies he watched growing up from the 20s. True. You know, so he's probably trying
to
evoke
connect that, like,
some of those.
Oh, wait, the lighting and the kissing. It's trying to invoke that.
So, for whatever reason, this is like vague to me. But so when in the beginning. When he came home and Nick Cage's character brought him home to mom kind of thing, right?
Did you recognize his girlfriend?
No, I didn't.
Did you recognize his girlfriend, Rodney?
There was...
Nobody ever puts baby in the corner.
Yes, it was her.
Oh, she didn't do too bad. But did he not go in the other room and fuck her?
No, he's pretending to.
Oh, they were pretending.
Yeah, he was pounding the wall to be rude to get him out of there.
Okay. So that's what it was. Okay, because I was
he was technically on top of her, and she did look naked. So maybe they were just making it seem worse, but they were
weird.
It was
a weird
scene.
Like, I thought...
That seemed like a Nick Cage, like, hey, I want to lay on top of Jennifer Grey and be naked, or attempt to be naked. Okay. I'll film the scene, nephew.
Well, how do you not know? Maybe she said, hey, I want him to be laying on top of me.
Well, because Nick Cage looked better around Ghost Rider time than he does back in the past. He's a little goofy, awkward. Oh.
Sexist.
Personally, that's what I think.
Who's sexist now?
But yeah, so the
but good point.
The core of the story is like this, you know, Diane Lane and him, the future unfaithful couple. You know, will they get together? Will they not? He goes on one trajectory, and the story gets very sloppy.
Well, they're not really.
Because it doesn't really follow, like, it doesn't really follow anybody.
Well, technically,
it's just a bunch of things. Well,
uncle was married, and he had a thing for Lainey, right? Mm-hmm. So he was always just trying to keep around as, like, eye candy, arm candy. He wanted more out of it, but.
I mean, she eventually got a nightclub out of him, too.
And, well, yeah, and because she asked him in the very beginning.
Well, that was like, her dream, to have that nightclub.
Yep, yes. And he's like, you ask me for anything you want kind of thing. I'm like, oh, here's how she gets roped into it, right? Like, thinking, like, oh, he's giving it to me because he's really nice.
She's a damn Benny Jesuit.
Right? Falling into that fucking trap, and then she's going to blame everybody else for her problems. But then, yeah, she gets her nightclub, right? But then he's like. Light loves her, but they don't really do anything.
You said Light loves her?
Like loves her.
Oh, like kind of, but not really? Like
yeah, he
like,
plays that the whole time.
Yeah, he went to Hollywood, if in real life.
Right? No, stop. Yeah,
yeah. If he's got, stop he's a star it. Of a movie.
You're so bad.
You know what you remind me of? What's that Mad TV with the little kid that keeps breaking?
Stuart.
You just did that right me. I'm fucking Stuart.
I'm going to do it.
Stuart's so fucking good.
Just it is a good, yeah. That's
but you remind me of Stuart. You just
well, thank
that,
you.
Sorry. One of the best.
Why? Because my football shaped head, you fucker.
I'm gonna do it. Don't put that band-aid in your mouth. Don't put that band-aid in your mouth.
Give me a paper towel.
Thank right you. There. You I put it by.
You move fast, Jay.
I did. I was like, whoa, water.
We're good. It's cleaned up.
It's under your phone.
And it's your toy.
That's okay. We didn't make it to the toy.
So the.
We almost made it on my lap.
It just. It's.
And then the I'm other really, story. Really the other story is Gregory really Hines like, is in love with one of the other dance singers.
The way he keeps falling around, I'm like, he's gonna get himself fucking killed. Like, that guy, that one dude told his ass like 5 times, stay away from her.
Yeah.
But you know, that dude doesn't live long.
Yeah, but it was.
I don't think they killed him. I no, think no, they just roughed him up.
Yeah, they roughed him up.
I think they're just like, yeah.
Bumpy dropped him up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They gave him a drink in the toilet, which was fucking hilarious.
They gave him a drink in the
toilet. That's what he said. Here, have a drink. It's like, I'm just, they didn't like curb
stomp
garbage
him. Can where you are? How's your shooting skills?
Not good.
So, we both at the same time. Not good. I assumed you missed. Yeah. The way you quickly slug it like you were going to make it.
So know, essentially,
right? Confidence.
Essentially, at the end, Richard Gere comes back after being a movie star. He wants to be with Vera. Mm-hmm. Vera's done with Dutch. Dutch's days are numbered because Oni and Lucky Luciano are in town. They're like, he's a fucking wild.
He's a hothead.
What did Munster say about that earlier on? He's like, hey,
Frankie.
Mario asks Munster. He goes, hey, Frenchie. He goes, what do you think about that guy? He's like, I don't trust him. Like, why not? He's like, I don't trust anybody with a nickname.
But I have a nickname.
But you got a nickname, Frenchie. He goes, but I'm trustworthy.
I like that character.
The whole conversation was really cool.
Yeah, that one, and that was when he's pissing too. He's in the bathroom pissing, talking
next
to him.
Each other.
And then the other one was the watch when he got
did they
bested.
Not? Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like they were both pissing at the same time, and then he stopped, turned to each other, then they were like zipped up.
Nick Cage's chest. Character.
I don't think Frenchie was pissing. I think he was just talking.
He was just staying in there.
Because he pointed like, you
Nick Cage's
look out for
when
me.
They kidnapped Frenchie, he goes, you tell him I didn't hurt you either, and he cut his fucking
face. His ear.
But Frenchie stayed true today. He told me he didn't hurt him.
Yeah. He goes, I hurt my...
Frenchie was the fucking man in this movie.
Yeah, he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, we played tennis. He goes, you played tennis?
Well, okay, but why did... Okay,
he knew the precautions of that. If he told him that, would be far scaling than anything else.
Yeah,
but why did he?
You just let it be.
Why did he cut his ear though?
Oh, like, Luke Skywalker.
Why couldn't he just?
Back.
Why didn't he
when
just?
His hair stuck back.
That's when he's after he's wet in the first.
Yeah,
movie.
After he's wet.
Yeah.
No, but what George about, Luke like, is that sick?
Why did he cut his ear though? He could have just let him go. And like, and it would just
because he's an asshole.
Yeah, that's
there's nothing
the whole
in
point.
His, when he pulled out, he goes, "I give you $150 a week." He goes, "Not good enough." Like, there's scenes in this where he's just a hothead that's not going to live a long life.
Yeah,
and he keeps bumping heads with everybody.
And then his boys betrayed him, anyways, right?
Well, no, they killed his boy in the alley. And
well, his boy, but his guy. Well, he was running around that group of guys, right?
No, it was the all when of Dutch's guys. Dutch's guys killed him. He didn't.
But that was where wait.
That was Dutch's guy.
Didn't, no.
Oh, no, it was Oni's guys.
Oni's guy. Like, he was.
Because he took Frenchie. He's like, fuck him. He's like, got rid of him.
Yeah.
He right. No, that's what I'm saying. That was the guys he was running around with.
He went into the booth to turn into Superman because that's what Nick Cage would do.
Right. That's what.
And he killed him. Yeah, yeah.
He forgot what movie he was in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, shit, I can stop one bullet.
But that's Nick Cage, since we're doing the Nick Cage podcast.
Yep.
No, no, that fits.
And he dropped marbles for some reason.
Yeah.
And he fell through the
jelly beans.
Oh.
He grabbed a handful of jelly beans.
I love the way, like, it's a fake call, but he's having a real conversation, whatever fake person called him. I don't know. That whole scene was kind of dumb to me. The way he died.
Well, the character was unnecessary.
Yeah.
It was again, hey, cousin, I know you're getting a payday for this, but our uncle. Can I get in this? Okay, yeah, sure. Come in. You know,
when they already took away his value as a character in the movie to pull you in one direction.
This is very early. We're talking like Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Valley Girl, Rumblefish, Racing the Moon, Cotton Club.
Oh wow,
so this is very first early. Yeah,
because he asked his brother. He's like, you didn't know anything about this kind of thing. He's like, no. He's like, I don't tie his shoes no more. Kind of
There's
thing.
There's other movies he kind of plays a dick.
This reminds me of the one Deadfall. Where he had the fake nose and they dumped his head in the fryer. Like,
how big is Nick Cage? Is he a big? Like,
I think he's 6'5". I think he's right at 6.
Okay, then. Yeah. Medium build.
But overall, I mean, the movie was a little tedious in parts to me. But what did you think?
It was, like Jay said, there's kind of two stories being happened at the same time, but they pay like 70% to one story and 30% to the other. I think it tries to be a noir movie with the music and the lighting and the sound and everything. At the end, they might as well say...
And a romance, too.
They might as well say Casablanca when they're both kissing out in front of the theater and they're talking, or at the end of the train.
Yeah, the ending scene is the dancing on the stage at Cotton Club gets brought into the real world at the train station while Oni's going away to jail, the funeral for Dutch, and then you see Diane Lane. She's like, oh, I'm free, and then they're on the train with the special spotlight on.
Spotlight, just like something... could give a damn or whatever.
Ooh, this makes me think. Okay,
6 foot.
Would you be interested in watching the movie Babel?
I've seen Babel.
Babylon. Let me take that back.
Babylon. I've seen Babylon.
Babel is the one with Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt.
I've seen Babel.
No, Babylon. Babylon is a movie with Margot Robbie and who else is in there?
I might have seen Babylon too.
No, you've not seen Babylon. You've not seen Babylon. I know you've not seen Babylon. I know you've not seen Babylon.
Hold on, let me see.
But it's about the 1920s, like 30s
about
movies.
About the movies. Yeah, I've seen Babylon. It's got Brad Pitt in it.
Elephant? Oh, yeah.
I've seen
Elephant
Babylon.
In the beginning? Does the elephant mean anything to you in the beginning of the movie?
They're having a large party at the beginning.
And then
they're
elephant.
In Hollywood. They're
snakes.
Pissing on people. They're into that
snake.
Shit. I've seen Babylon. I promise you I have.
Margot Robbie picks up a snake.
Where's it streaming at, though?
I don't know.
Now I watched it the second it dropped.
The beginning of the movie is an elephant shitting on somebody.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, I'm surprised. I've seen Babylon.
How did we not? Why did you?
Brad Pitt's in it. That's how I've seen
it. Well, then yeah, we could have talked about that because.
Can
it's
I say?
You
know what I watched today on my downtime? I watched a movie called Other Side of the Tracks. You know why I watched it?
Because
Brad Pitt's in it, and it's the one Brad Pitt movie that I haven't watched, but I watched it today. It's got Ricky Schroeder and Brad Pitt in it. They're both brothers, and one's a piece of shit brother.
There's a hell of a cast of ladies in there too. Babylon.
Babylon.
Yeah,
Babylon reminds me a lot.
You watch Babylon. We'll talk about Babylon.
Babylon reminds me a lot of The Great Gatsby.
It's
when it talks about all the
underground Hollywood. Yeah.
I'll watch again. I think it's on Max.
I'll watch it again too. I saw it in the theater.
It's a gorgeous looking movie for the most part. It got a lot of credit for being gorgeous.
I'm going to add Babylon to the list.
Because it's a Brad Pitt movie. Of course I watched it.
And it sort of reminds me of things that are going on.
For the record,
this
in my office at work,
it's basically about the ending of movies going into talkies.
I have a little, it's supposed to go on a tree. It's one of those things that go on trees.
Ornaments?
I have a Brad Pitt ornament hanging in my office on the wall.
I was guessing. Why did I pick ornament? I don't know what else you would put on the tree.
But yes,
So this movie, good...
I recommend The Other Side of the Tracks for him. It's a very slow-paced movie. Him and his brother. The tracks, because they're racing on a team at the high school. It means that kind of track.
So, Jay, what did you think while watching this, like about watching this movie ultimately?
I recommend it. Brad Pitt's 27 this way. He looks like he's 19.
Slow and under entertaining.
I think it tries to channel noir movies from the 1920s. I think it comes as close as possible as it can doing that, but it doesn't quite.
I mean,
quite
if you're into those kind of movies, like I guess it'd be okay. And it has a little bit of, like, I don't know, a little bit of music, song, and dance, but not a lot.
I don't even think she's that good of a singer.
It's not
a lot where it pulls you out of it, which I was very happy with, because I hate fucking...
I think the movie's trying to be too many things.
Okay.
It was trying to be the picture book that Robert Evans, like, wanted to have, made into a movie, It wanted to be a throwback to the old 1920s gangster movie. Yeah. So it was like, and then it was trying to be a romance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the Hoofers Club. Like, I almost felt like that was almost pointless in a way. Like, a lot of the other story, like when they were showing him trying to court her, like from one scene, he's following her into the club. And then the next scene, he's like following around the backstage and they're pretending like they've been like,
oh, it's about a Gregory Hines character.
Yeah. Like this.
It's weird. There was that thing where
and
she
then
liked,
underground,
she liked
like, club where they were dancing. Like with the
she
other
liked
old
him,
men.
But she didn't like him. She pushed him away. Then she kept him away.
Right. Well,
then she like they were dating. And then at the end, they're
like,
married.
Right. Like
it did. There was all over the place.
Right. Like would their movie had been better if it was just their story.
Yeah.
You know, would it have been better if it was just
pick one is kind of what I would think.
It probably would have been everything else from the, I have to say, but from the white perspective, could have been in the background and somebody worked at the cotton club and what they went through, because she got mistaken as white quite a bit, right? Mm-hmm. She went to the hotel and they're like, oh, we don't do mixed couples here. Couples, she's like, well, we're not mixed. I'm fucking black, bitch.
Yep.
That guy's like, how are you fucking black? Bitch, let me tell you how this works. My mom's white. My daddy's black. That's how I'm fucking mixed, right, motherfucker. Yep. You dumb son of a bitch.
Why do you do that?
Well, like, I guess that's okay. Right? Yeah. So, but she's gorgeous. But you're right. Mm-hmm. I think they almost had that story in the background, but I think that would have been a better, more interesting story on how they dealt with that 1920s
America,
right?
Oh, dude,
that would
have been more scandalous in a lot of ways, right? Like, for that era, the way they're playing
just
that stuff.
To play up.
Because we know that other story. We don't know their story.
Yeah, to play up that story
pretty much
more as the arc of it.
Yeah. I agree, Jake. Nice.
And then that would have actually worked to integrate all the performance, because, like, we talked about it, Roddy, because you showed up before I finished the movie today. Like, the dancing. How much work went into all these like dancers and performers doing all this stuff?
Oh, yeah. They had to be like, all right, guys, remember all the dance moves you learned? Forget them. All you're going to do is you're going to shake your butt, shake your hands, and walk in a circle and smile.
Oh, I listened to the one lady's song. She kept singing that one song. She goes, and then I bend over, and then I shake my butt. And I was like, I'm now turned on.
Well,
ever
the
slightly.
One was like, you want this meat? I'm talking about barbecue.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I like the double entendre.
I was kind of slightly turned on by it, to be honest with you.
So how much do you think this movie cost to make?
Oh, we're doing this. I forgot we do this.
Yeah, it's Nick Cage, yeah.
It made it to the theaters, of course.
Yes.
Francis
Ford Coppola.
How much it made?
How much what did it cost to make?
How much it cost? I think it cost $12
million. Yeah, this is 1984, Jay, so.
It was 84?
84. 1993 Jurassic.
Jay's like $50.
1993 Jurassic Park.
$52.
$65 million as the reference point. 1984.
I said, what did I just say? $12 million. Okay. Jay's like $52 and 74 cents.
No, I. What did you say?
$12 million.
$12 million. I don't know.
I have no idea.
I'd have to say, like, there's a big group of characters in there that cast, like actors, but some of them weren't that big yet, but. Some of them,
because you saw like Mario Van Peebles. Yeah. You saw there was another actor whose name I don't know, like that always put like there was like a lot of people are like, oh, they're not even.
Oh, Diane Lane, Gregory Hines. There's a lot of actors in there. Nick Cage, well, he probably was free. Lawrence Fishburne.
And then, I don't know. I don't want to overcut you or undercut you, but I would say I'll go with $18 million.
This
I
movie
think it was a little bit more.
This movie in 1984 was the most expensive movie ever made. At $58
million. I did not see that coming.
$58 million. They had 40 drafts of the script because of Sony, the problems they had trying to get it made. It took 5 years to get this even out, like through the beginning of the process.
Well, I didn't know what that is. You didn't tell us all that.
So now, do you think this movie was a critical success? Do you think it made like
one
Oscar?
No, I didn't think it went anything. Because what's his name?
Anywhere.
The director, what's his name?
Francis Ford Coppola.
Didn't win shit till later on in his life. So I think it was a total flop for him. I'd say it did $22 million.
What do you say, Jerry?
Oh, I don't think it made that much. I think it made a couple thousand.
$25.9 million.
Nice call.
Yeah, it didn't. Diane Lane got nominated.
I just asked what it would cost to buy.
Diane Lane got nominated for a Razzie for her role in this, and also in Streets of Fire the same year.
We got to watch Streets of Fire.
Well, and just to say, I think the movie was much better than making $0 at the thing. But I mean, I
remember what
surprised me that.
Well, what's weird is I remember because again I was always kind of always into like the movie stuff. So I remember in '84 like hearing so much about this. Like I legit thought this was like an Oscar winner and all this. But then once I saw, oh no, it was known notoriously for having the largest budget.
Diane Lane was that bad.
Oh, that's why I know. That's why I know.
I didn't think Diane Lane was so bad in it.
No, she wasn't. But
I don't deserve the Razzie.
They're awful people, so that's why.
Yeah.
So okay, IMDb rating. What do we think? I didn't look at this myself.
I'd go 3.4. And that's high for IMDb.
5.6.
Yeah, my gut was 5.1, so.
3.4, 5.6, 5.1.
6.5.
Wow, okay, guys, one of his higher films.
Now, this might be, again, the direct, now that they have the encore version, which is the director's cut, which they say added more stuff back
in. Which we realize there's some, like, the scene behind the curtains and everything.
Yeah, yeah, Rodney showed up at the part, so the part when they are kind of, like, before the big finale, when
they got to backstage,
Dixie and Vera go back. And then that curtain.
Yeah.
And he goes,
Dutch is looking for him.
He goes, ooh.
That's like they're going to get caught.
And I go, what are you? And in my head, I'm like, what are you? And he goes, oh, I didn't see this. I didn't see this. Oh, I didn't see that part. Because he watched the other shorter version.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I was like, oh, that's kind of funny that he actually was here for those moments. But he goes, ooh. And I'm like, what? You saw this.
Yeah, those parts weren't in my
head. But like, it makes sense, though, be like them getting a 6.5, though, because it, like, just because it doesn't do well in the theaters doesn't mean it's not like a good movie.
There's a lot of great movies.
And it's capturing the era. Like now, I actually liked it. It's capturing a time that was like 100 years ago now, right? Almost 100 years ago.
Back when people could go on a pole and fucking dropkick somebody and knock a gun out of their hand.
Right. With tap shoes on.
Yeah, with tap shoes on.
Yeah, with tap shoes on.
He could do that. He could do that. Okay.
You remember that. But you do realize that when they show that, they just showed his foot coming in, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not him doing it.
The cut is awful. The cut is almost as bad as another retirement plan.
And record, there's no windows near them, but that gun somehow went out of fucking window. There's no guns around them. They're back on the stage. Jay, remember where they're placed inside the place.
There is no window.
There's no windows around them, but somehow that gun goes out of fucking window and lands in front of the doorman.
The mise-en-scene is not very well done.
But that doorman, he's just like,
yeah,
and he's under a canopy. Yeah. So how did that even fall down to like by his feet?
Yeah,
his angles, man.
He kicked the shit out of that gun.
Yes, he did.
For the fact of it being a weird Francis Ford Coppola movie, very early Richard Gere, very early
Francis Cage movie.
You know,
I think it's a fun movie just to watch. To see all those people in there, too, though.
Thought, what's his name? Whoever played Dutch
Mario
Schultz?
Mario Peebles had no lines. Dutch and his Schultz? Dad was, like, a famous director at that point.
Yeah,
so.
It was. He was. Black Ploitation.
Sweet
Black Ploitation.
Black Ploitation, yeah.
Films.
Uh-huh.
I thought the guy that played Schultz, he had that, like, 1920s look to him. Like, they did something to his lips and his face.
Yeah, well, they shaved his hair back, too.
They made
stuff.
Him look like that 1920s look. So I thought they did good with that, too. So.
But yeah, it's not. I wouldn't recommend watching it, but it wasn't a bad watch. That's the way I would look
at
it.
It's not. No.
I always find it interesting when they do that stuff for the movies, though, where, like, you got people that do the research to find out, like, to go back and see what they had, what would they be wearing. Like, they got to go through and they got to rent all the clothes.
There's
and
a lot
all
of
that
work
shit.
That goes into that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, no. And then, but. You know, like, you can't get, when they do that shit, they can't get mad at you for somebody calling them out on something. Like, hey, that fucker's wearing their Apple Watch or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody didn't do their fucking job.
Yeah, like in Spartacus, famously, there's people with wristwatches on and some scenes.
Yeah, it's just like, you can't get mad.
Starbucks and Game of Thrones.
You know, like,
Spartacus, a TV show?
No. The old Stanley Kubrick, Spartacus.
Oh, what was the TV show? I don't think it's Spartacus.
Well, there is a TV show called Spartacus, too.
Dudes have that movie, that show have huge cocks.
So, Jay, what is the next what's the next to Cage one we're doing? Do you remember?
There's a lineup of guys where the lady that plays.
I don't think
you want. She's picking the man she wants. And all you see is cock, 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 cock.
Was Spartacus spelled with three X's?
Do you remember the name of the movie?
The Runner.
Okay, The Runner. That's the next one.
I know,
all right, we're done. Back to class.
Thanks for completing this course. For more lessons, follow the Film School Janitors on Instagram and Facebook under Film School Janitors and on Twitter under FS Janitors. Please rate and review this podcast where we may have found it, and feel free to email us at filmschooljanitors@gmail.com. Now get back to your studies.